Let's join in a word of prayer as we come to God's word and meditate upon it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have heard today already from Dada about the work in London. We continue to pray for that work also for Joanna and Amir and Claire as they continue their work. Be with us now as we turn to your word. May we be challenged on this Missionary Sunday about the tremendous need throughout the world, at home and abroad, to do all that we can to further the kingdom of God. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen. Recently, I read the following quote: "The gospel is the story of a missionary God who sent his missionary son and now indwells us by his missionary spirit." We could easily come up with Bible verses for each of these. This quote: we hear of a missionary God in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." We hear of the missionary heart of Jesus whenever he said to himself of himself in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And then, of course, in the book of Acts, we discover the missionary spirit, who, when he came, gives his church power to witness the resurrection of Jesus. This is what we read, and we read it, quoted already today in the service in Acts 1 and 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." The triune God is a missionary God. That is what the gospel tells us. On this Missionary Sunday, the question we need to ask is, are we a missionary people? Are we a missionary church? I'm not asking, do we have a missionary committee or a missionary program? We do. But we can have a missionary program and set aside funds to support missionaries and really not be a missionary people. If we extend of our missionary outreach is limited to throwing a few pounds onto the plate on a missionary Sunday and not be involved in anything else, then we have to question very much, are we a missionary people? Having a missionary program and going on mission trips and having a missionary Sunday can be part of what it means to be a missionary people. But if we ourselves are not giving witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our Jerusalem, as Dada has already told us, his Jerusalem is London and Liberia, what about ourselves and our claim to worship God? We have been placed here in the village of Ahuchel. Here is where the light of Jesus is to shine through us. We have been planted in our place of work and in our communities where we live and in the families that have been given to us. It is here where we must proclaim Jesus and give witness to the resurrection of Jesus. If we do a lot of good work but fail to proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified, dead and buried and risen from the dead, and the forgiveness of our sins, then we are yet to truly reflect the heart of a missionary God. I understand we live in different times. I understand that things are not the way they were in a generation past. We live in an increase in secular society, as Dad has already told us in London, and the challenge of proclaiming Jesus Christ in this culture. It is hard to even know where to start the conversation, because we cannot even assume a shared view that God even exists. Furthermore, matters of religion try to be one of those topics that we don't talk about in the public place. It is meant to be kept private. Greg Gilbert writes, "We are all made of the image of God. We have all rebelled against him and gone over our own way. We all need the grace of forgiveness and a substitute to stand in our place. Death stares all of us in the face, and eternity stretches out before us all. The same good news that saved millions through the ages will, by God's grace, continue to do so in this generation and everyone that follows," said Greg Gilbert. So no matter where we live or what the culture is like, the message is still the same. And as a missionary people who reflect the missionary heart of our God, we proclaim the same message that was proclaimed 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. The message that I proclaimed 40 years ago in Nigeria is the same message that I proclaim in Ahuchel today, and it's the same message that Dada proclaims in London and Liberia. We have all heard the American evangelist, Dr. Billy Graham. And at one time, he was holding a series of meetings in Africa, and he preached a simple gospel message. Then he decided that he would hold an experiment, and the following week, he was preaching, and it was either Oxford or Cambridge University, to university students. He preached the same message, and he found that these students were broken under the conviction of God, just like the uneducated that were in the African country. There's no need to have a complicated gospel for the so-called educated. Yes, the same gospel is for every generation and for every language and for every country of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And that message needs to be known and spread throughout the world. But how shall they hear unless someone goes and tells? Yes, the gospel is the story of a missionary God. But there's something that we need from this missionary God. We need to have a vision of lost souls. I do not think there's ever been an hour in the history of the church when the people of God need to have a vision of souls that are lost like that vision is needed in this day and hour. You listen to the conversation of Christians. You listen to the preacher of preaching, preaching of preachers, and you're bound to come to the conclusion that the church today and the modern-day church, yes, and even the fundamental Bible-believing church of this hour, do not have a vision of lost souls. God gave that vision to Paul. And Acts chapter 16 is one of the most dramatic chapters in the Bible. Things happened. People were saved. Families were baptized. Cities were stirred. Earthquakes happened. Prayers were answered. Jails were destroyed. And the work of God went on. In that chapter, in verse 9, we read, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man from Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" We need to see what Paul saw that night. When God brought a man to stand before Paul, he heard that night that man say, "Come, help us." And that is a vision that every Christian needs to see. We need to hear a cry of lost souls in this world, like crying after 2,000 years, "Come, help us." That is a cry of lost humanity. He saw a vision of a man crying, "Come, help us." And Paul set out to follow that vision. Into Macedonia, Paul went, and there at Philippi, a mighty revival took place. People were saved. People were baptized. The church was born. The work of God went on. And these lost souls began to hear the message of truth. God, who is a missionary God, needs to give us a vision of lost souls. Jesus saw them. If you want to see what Jesus saw, if you are interested in what Jesus is interested in, then you're going to have a vision of lost souls. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus saw the multitudes. He didn't see them as prospective votes. He didn't see them as statistics. He saw them as souls. The Church of Jesus Christ today needs to see a vision of lost souls. How many Christians today do you hear talking about missionary work? How many Christians today do you hear talking about visitation work? How many Christians today do you hear talking about revival? How many Christians today do you hear talking about the average church praising the Lord for souls that are being saved? The lack of all this is an indication that we need a vision of lost souls. If only we could have the vision of David Barnard had. He died at the age of 29, but he had a vision of the Indians who were lost and without God. He saw them not just as enemies of the white man, but as souls from Christ died. The color of their skin meant nothing to him. He saw them as people who would go to heaven or to go to hell. He knelt in the snow and he prayed until disease gripped his frail body, but people came to Christ. I read of one old Indian who used to follow David Barnard, seeking to do him harm. But he saw him kneeling in the snow and lifting his hands to God and his heart towards heaven and praying, "Oh God, may these red men be saved." And at the age of 29, with tuberculosis literally eating his body away, he laid down his life but he is remembered today as a man who had a vision for the souls of the Indian people. We need a vision like David Livingstone had whenever he went to that dark continent of Africa. In his day, some had never seen a face of a white man. They said, "We never knew that we were black because we never had seen a man who was white until David Livingstone came." All the years of his fruitful life, he walked among them. He braved the rigors of the land and the disease that racked his body, the fever that almost killed him. He loved them to God until thousands were saved. He found them dead in his little tent, kneeling at his cot, praying, "Oh God, give me Africa." A prayer that always prayed. He died literally on his knees. And they lifted his body and they sent it back to England to be buried in Westminster Abbey. In the middle aisle where kings and important people are buried, lies the body of David Livingstone. The native said, "The body belongs to England, but his heart belongs to Africa. Leave it here." And so they removed his heart from his body and they buried his soul in Africa, for that is where it was. That is where his heart was. And so I ask you this morning, where is your heart when it comes to the souls of men and women? We need a vision that Hudson Taylor had whenever he went to China. And after some 20 years in China, in 1880, there were 70 missionaries and 70 preaching stations because of the work of Hudson Taylor. Taylor had written, "God first in my life," and every piece of luggage that he put on the boat. He meant that what God had given him as a vision of China. We need a vision like William Booth had whenever he saw the neglected derelicts, the slums in London. He left the formal church in London, and he went out into the slums. He went to start the Salvation Army. Surely we need a vision today of lost souls. And we thank God for every precious soul that is saved, but we cannot help thinking of the untold millions that are still untold. We will never forget whenever we come home on furlough from Nigeria and we're asked, "Are you going back again? Do you not think you have done your stint? Do you not think you should stay in Northern Ireland? There's a great need for you here." No vision for the lost, no concern for those who never heard. We just shook our heads and we said to ourselves, "They haven't got a clue of the tremendous need. Oh, if only we could do more." Let us never forget, where there is no vision, souls are lost. Where there is no vision, God's people perish. The lack of vision on this part of the church means the destruction of men and women in this district, in this province, in the United Kingdom, in the expanded European Union, in the world. We need a vision of lost souls. Where there is no vision, people perish. But then again, if we are to be witnesses for this missionary God, we need a vision of Jesus Christ himself. One day a group of people came to the disciples and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That ought to be the heart cry of every believer. "Sir, we would see Jesus." A wonderful experience took place at the Transfiguration when upon that little mountain, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. And while out on that mountain, two men from heaven came, Moses and Elijah. There was Jesus and the five men, six people, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Simon Peter got so enthused that he began speaking without thinking. He said, "Let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." God wasn't pleased with that. And so we read that after a while, when the clouds went back, these two men went back to heaven. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, but Jesus only. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. We need a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see him. We need to love him. We need to serve him with all our hearts. I trust today as we remember we serve a missionary God and as we send out workers from this church that we will consider the need to be witness for Christ. I trust that we will consider that important subject today, that it will cause every Christian to reflect upon the importance of sharing one's faith. Are you going? Are you telling? Are you inviting? Are you praying? Do you stand in awe as you reflect upon God's grace and want to share it with others? One should search his or her own soul in seeking to answer these questions. We have a missionary God. Are those of us who profess to be Christians also missionaries for Jesus Christ? The following ad once appeared in a London newspaper. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful. The ad was signed by Sir Ernest Shackleton, Antarctic explorer. Amazing. The ad drew thousands of respondents eager to sacrifice everything for the prospect of meaningful adventure. How many are prepared to answer the call for Almighty God? If we're Christians, we are God's people. Do we really believe God has given us a mission to this world? Matthew 28 and 19 could hardly be clearer. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Yet, we are so often reluctant, aren't we? After all, we have just been saved out of the world. Why should we want to go back to it? Church meetings are so much safer when mixing with the world. Christians' friends are so much easier to get along with than non-Christian friends. The Bible in her is much happier in the shelf at home than in her desk at work. But if we truly grasp the missionary heart of God, we can do nothing but go, can we? And we have one enormous advantage over the original missionaries. If I want to reach the nations for Christ, I don't have to go far to do it. In days gone by, the missionaries had to make huge month-long journeys on foot or by sea. All that we have to do is to talk to our neighbor over the garden fence, chat with our colleagues over lunch in the canteen, discuss Jesus instead of football on the street. How concerned are we for the fields that we know? Our own doorstep, our own church, our own community, our own home, our own family, our own work, our own neighborhood, to bear witness of Jesus Christ. It isn't easy. Who is getting involved in this special door-to-door effort that has taken place with the three Presbyterian churches here in the Huckle in the summer? Are you prepared to get involved? As Acts 1 verse 8, the resurrected Jesus says to his faithful remnant, about 120 believers, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes, the place names are different, but the missions are still the same for us today. Today, King Jesus calls for us to consider our lives to him and obey him. Can you say, where he leads me, I will follow? Let us therefore go on this special Missionary Sunday, think about our contribution is towards helping to fulfill that great commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. One day, a missionary called at the home of a sick man about to die. In broken English and with many pauses, the old man said, I soon die, but I go to heaven. When I reach the gate, angels carry me to the Lord Jesus. When I thank Jesus for his mercy, I come back to the gate and I wait for you. When you come, I not allow angel to carry you. These arms carry you to the Lord Jesus. And I tell him, this is the one who preached the gospel to this poor sinner, and I trusted in my Savior. What an amazing witness. Just how think how those living in darkness have heard the gospel. Their whole lives have been changed, and it has happened in the past and it still happens today. Dada has reminded us 92% of those who live in London never go to a place of worship. How many in a huckle go to a place of worship? Are we prepared to be missionaries for our missionary God? I trust that today we will be challenged to do so. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what we have heard today of your work in London and Liberia. We thank you that we have got a missionary God, one who is concerned about the souls of men and women. And we just pray that today each and every one of us will be challenged to see what we can do and how we can respond to the call of Christ to our own lives. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.